tired of toeing the line. I got tired of watching that game last night. I can only go so far. I think I tapped out about 9:30. I get up too early to stay up too late. If it was the Oilers in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup, I'd probably have stayed. But yeah, Canadian Freddie Freeman, walk-off home run to win the longest World Series that I've ever seen, man. 6 hours, 39 minutes. Dodgers up 2-1. And tonight, Shohei Ohtani starts for the Dodgers. It'll be Shane Bieber on the mound for the Jays. The status for George Springer still uncertain.
George is 0-3 tonight.
George hurt himself.
Uh-oh.
George hurt himself on that swing. He called the trainer out. He reached for his oblique. As soon as he took the swing, he called the trainer out. He's done. He's not going to continue. Wow.
Yeah, that could be big. And we can't say for sure that it cost the Jays a run, but it was certainly a bad and rather costly call last night by the home plate umpire. His delayed strike call on an elevated 3-1 fastball led to Bo Bichette wandering too far off first base, and he assumed it was a walk because the pitch was high and the ump's call was delayed and getting picked off for the first out of the second inning. Here's the play. Even the announcers were confused.
First, oh boy. Everybody's confused. Marshall Stone is back. Bichette's wandered off of the base and he's out. He thought it was ball four. I think we all thought it was ball four.
Yeah, we all did. At worst, it sabotaged a potential big inning and cost Toronto at least one run. But the Dodgers definitely caught a break on that one. But we move on. Jays manager John Schneider said tonight's approach with Ohtani might have to be a little different.
You know, he had a great game. He's a great player. But I think, you know, after that, you just kind of take the bat out of his hands.
And not to give away secrets, but this is pretty much what we should expect going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can catch that game, of course, tonight right here on 980 CJME. And we're the home of the Jays and proud of it, too. Also, happy to hear that the Cup is returning to the West again. 5 years since we last hosted the Grey Cup. Takes a lot of money and energy and partners. I know the province is giving $5 million. City contributing $1.5 million. And Mayor Chad Baczynski thinks, you know what, the city is ready and the economic spinoff is worth it.
We have a very strong history of showing up as volunteers. So we know from a community standpoint, the community will rally behind this event. We'll have great volunteers, great events happening. And yeah, the economic spinoff of an event like this for our city is incredible. You know, we'll be filling hotels, we'll be filling restaurants, and the city will come alive.
2027, another tidbit to come out of this is the game is going to be November 7th. The earliest the game has ever been played. So, yeah, the season will have to move up. They're going to work out all the details and let us know. Rider President Craig Reynolds bumped into him last night at the Green Zone, or Blue Zone, if you will, World Series watch party at Boston Pizza Starlight. He was on with Jamie and Locker and mentioned that, you know what, the new turf is going to be here in time for that, too.
Yeah, all indications are that there will be. So we've just started conversations with the city. The turf is actually up for renewal. That'll be 10 years by the time that we host that Grey Cup. So that's basically the lifespan of any turf. So that was in the plans, and we were quick to highlight that in the bid process as well, that we were going to be replacing the turf at Mosaic Stadium. So I think you're going to see that happen.
So there you have it. This year, Winnipeg, Calgary next year, then us, November 7th. Are they so powerful? Are they unstoppable now after defeating the Blue Jays? The Dodgers winning last night. Oh, it was a long game. 6 hours plus. Kevin Martell joining me from the 980 CJME newsroom. Did you stay up and watch all the way?
I stayed up for one game for the first 9 innings, and then I was like, all of that for nothing. I stayed up later than I normally would and didn't even have a winner.
Yeah, me too. I couldn't go past 9:30 last night, but what do you think? Is that a big turning point? It certainly feels like it. That's a crushing defeat.
Well, and when you play basically two games in one, I mean, when you think about all the pitchers that you have to use, and the Jays and Dodgers, both teams don't get any days off for a couple of days until Thursday is the next scheduled day off. If it, I guess, we'll go there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. And yeah, that certainly could be the spark that LA, because the game was good, like in the first, you know, it was back and forth. And, you know, Shohei had a couple home runs. And
is he not a handsome bugger too? I am comfortable in my own skin to say he's a good looking guy. When he stands up there on that plate, he's got nice hair. He smiles. It looks like he's smiling happily the whole time.
He certainly admires hair.
Yeah. He's just got it all, that guy. And he starts on the mound tonight against Shane Bieber, right?
Yeah,
For the Jays. Hey, I just want to take you and get your opinion on this. The national anthem.
Grammy-nominated Canadian singer-songwriter, J.P. Sachs.
Oh, Canada, our home, our native land.
Wait a minute. Our home on native land. Are we sure this guy's Canadian? Come on now. We're not going to let him back in the country, are we?
Well, from what I've heard, he did it on purpose.
Is that right?
Possibly.
Really?
You know, one of these stands.
Didn't we have that during the Four Nations Cup with, not Sarah McLachlan.
I know who you're talking about off the top of my head, but yes, talking to Evan Bray in the hallway.
Evan Bray knows everything.
That it might have been on
purpose.
Where
the heck is Evan Bray? We can't have facts like that without Evan Bray. He should be in the studio telling us this. Yeah, I just thought that was strange and a kind of a weak rendition nonetheless. But what did you notice behind the plate? Yesterday you noticed a lot of crazy people that advertised Colonel Sanders. Did you notice anyone last night?
The Blue Jays games have had, quite a lot of characters behind home plate. Not as much for the Dodgers in L.A. Mary Hart, who I guess is always there if you've ever seen a Dodgers
Entertainment
game.
Tonight.
She's always there. Yeah. You've met Mary Hart?
A long time ago, I'm at Paramount Studios on a bit of a golf cart tour, just a half a dozen people. And we're on the set of Entertainment Tonight. Back in the day of John Tesh and Mary Hart, I'm showing my age. It was like the hottest entertainment show you watched
night,
right?
Yeah.
And the guy on the tour says, hey, there's where Mary Hart sits behind the desk. And there's this giant pillow because she's shorter than a very tall John Tesh. And I go, really? And all of a sudden she shouts from the back of the room, well, I'm not that short. And she was there just getting ready for rehearsals. And of course, I was awestruck.
The life that you have lived.
Life I've lived. That same night I met, what's her name from Cheers, Kirstie Allen? Kirstie Allen, yeah. I was spitting with her that night, too. Oh, I gotta write a book. All right, Kevin, let's talk about the Grey Cup. Are you happy it's coming back in 5 years?
I'm surprised.
After 5 years?
I am surprised that it actually is very quick. I mean, great for the city. I mean, if you can get an event like that every couple of years, I mean, I'm sure hotels will say, you know, great. And when it's a party atmosphere, I mean, it'd be nice if we could get the riders back in it again, like 2013. But certainly everybody's, I think, going to be happy with this. Businesses all the way.
Well, it's funny how you said that, too, because last night I went to the Green Zones party at Boston Pizza on Starlight. Great job, Boston Pizza, by the way. And Rider President Craig Reynolds was there. And I said, hey, congratulations. You know, and you said, I hope the Riders are still there. Literally, we talked about that. They signed, you know, Mace and O'Day, and everything's in place to take us to that cup. And he was pretty jacked up about it coming. And I think a lot of people are.
Well, and another thing that is notable is that the Grey Cup will be in 2027, November the 7th, which is several weeks earlier than normal. And they're actually going to move the season start day up, which I think for a lot of people, hopefully, it cuts it down on the possibility that it's going to be nasty. Not that it can't be nasty at that time. But
moving the start date, moving the field goal.
Everything's moving.
It's all moving in 2027. All right, Kevin, thank you so much. Halloween forecast looking a little cooler here in the long run, by the way. Right now I see Friday's going to be cloudy and 3 degrees. But hey, no snow at least. We'll check in with the Regina Hotel Association about the excitement of the Grey Cup returning and see what it means for us economically in just a few moments after the 7 o'clock news. The party is going to return. The Cup is coming out west again. It's been 5 years since we last hosted it. And yesterday, the commission said,
the 114th Grey Cup to be played in 2027. has been awarded to the great province of Saskatchewan and the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yeah, pretty big news. Economically, the spinoff is huge, right? And it takes a lot to pull this all together. The province contributes, the city, and so many will benefit, including my next guest and who she represents, without a doubt. It is Sandra Jekyll, who is president of the Regina Hotel Association. Welcome back, Sandra.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
So right off the bat, what kind of economic impact do you think the Hotel Association anticipates for the Cup's return?
Well, I think this is going to be a huge economic impact. Grey Cups in Saskatchewan are incredibly special. They're super fun. We'll see a huge economic impact and boost to local businesses and our tourism sector especially. I can tell you back in 2022 when we hosted, we had over 90% average occupancy. So our hotels are going to be totally full, which is what we love to see.
Well, yesterday, my buddies were calling from the West Coast immediately trying to book the Morgan Manor. And I said, well, I can only take so many of you. So how far in advance do you expect hotel bookings for a Grey Cup?
I think people will be booking right away. People always want to see who's going to be in the Grey Cup, obviously, and we hope it's the Riders. But people are going to be booking right away, and they can do that. We do have some holds for CSL requirements. And after that, it's up for grabs for whoever wants to come to town and cheer on their team.
Well, how many hotel rooms do we have now in this city?
In our membership, we have about close to 3,000 hotel rooms. So in our membership, there's just over 2,600. So we've got a lot of places for people to stay.
And do hotels tend to implement special pricing, if you will, or minimum stay policies when events like this come to town?
I guess you could say for major events, citywide events like this, there is some dynamic pricing. So you will see prices go up and down and fluctuate. You'll see that for any major event, even with Foo Fighters coming to town. So it's pretty common and standard across the nation. But yeah, you can definitely expect that.
Sandra Jekyll, president of the Regina Hotel Association. Now, last time the Cup was here, as I mentioned, I had my buddies here from the West Coast. When we were downtown, we had a blast, but it didn't necessarily feel like a Grey Cup atmosphere because most of the festivities were at Real or the Kinexus. And again, they're promising that's going to be the case for the next Cup here, too. Does your association worry the downtown core gets kind of left out of the momentum of a Cup when it's in town now?
Well, you can look at it two ways. It's pretty cool for a fan to have one-stop shop at one place, so you can just go there and hunker down and have the best time. It's also nice to have things spread out a little bit, but there's going to be activations at different hotels and restaurants and things like that, I think you'll still get that party atmosphere no matter where you are in the city.
Let's move away from the Grey Cup. Tell me how the Foo Fighters announcement next September has fueled the industry.
Well, this is a super exciting announcement. We all know we've wanted a stadium show for years. It's one of only four shows in Canada in 2026. So the show on September 15th is going to be packed. I think pre-sale tickets go on sale today, so hopefully everybody signed up for that. And then they go on sale to the general public on Friday, October 31st.
And with only four shows, and the closest being, what, Edmonton, I imagine we draw from the south a little, right, and surrounding provinces.
Definitely. So when we had great Garth Brooks in 2019, that was the only concert in Canada, so we drew from all over the place. But for this one, you're right, we're going to draw from Manitoba, we're going to draw from the upper states, and people might just come to Saskatchewan because we're a cool place to watch a concert and definitely the best stadium in the nation.
Sandra, from someone who has worked, as you have, at the Real District many years and is now with the Regina Hotel Association, you have a good eye for what the city needs to keep sustaining itself economically within your industry. So in your opinion, what else would be nice to have happen to build upon the Foo Fighters in a Grey Cup announcement?
Well, it'd be nice to have a big major event every year. So if we can continue to build on Foo Fighters, if we can show Live Nation that we have a packed stadium, maybe we can continue to get that major concert every year in Mosaic Stadium. And just having the Grey Cup in 2027 to look forward to. We've got some other things coming down the pipe for later years. 2028, we're hosting the Can-Am Police Fire Games, which is huge. We've put in a bid to host the Special Olympics 2030 Canada Summer Games. They came here for a site visit, so we're hoping to secure that. That one's still up for decision, but we're hoping for a lot of major events coming soon.
Well, you're doing great work. I always appreciate when you pop by to share what you're doing. So thanks for everything here this morning, Sandra.
No problem. Well, I'm on my way to the city lights, to the pretty face that shines her light on the city night. We'll
catch a noon train. You're pretty grumpy this morning, Evan Bray. I don't know.
I am grumpy. I'm tired and grumpy.
It's a happy song just to kind of lift your spirits a little bit.
I know.
Sing along if you have to.
I love the Stampeders.
All right. That's enough, Frank. Thank you very much. But you're a little grumpy because, of the national anthem last night.
That's now, how it started.
Yes. And how late you stayed up. I can tell you haven't had enough sleep. But World Series, Game 3 in L.A. last night. This is going viral this morning. The national anthem was not good.
Grammy-nominated Canadian singer-songwriter, J.P. Sachs.
Oh, Canada, our home, our native land.
All right, Evan, stop it right there. What do you have to say?
Well, sing the right lyrics. Like, I have zero time for idiots who think it's their job to make some kind of passive-aggressive protest during the national anthem and change the lyrics.
Yeah. Well, I was saying, who sang it during the Four Nations Cup? Remember, I was angry with
yes,
her.
Yes, yes.
For Canada.
I can't remember her name either. But, yeah, I mean, it's like, sing the words. I have more compassion for someone who forgets the words.
Yeah.
During the national anthem than someone who decides on their own that they're going to change the words.
Yeah, I'm totally with you.
Like, I jumped. That was the only time last night in that ball game I jumped out of my seat. And it was right at the start of the game. I'm like, what is this idiot doing?
Well, that idiot is J.P. Sachs, who went viral earlier in the summer for canceling his tour due to low ticket sales.
Wow.
So,
I'm
Greg, telling you, Pop,
I just shake
your
my
rant
head.
Here is...
I just shake my head. Like, what? Anyway.
Okay, so now you're a little grumpy because you stayed up late. How
I
late did you go?
I stayed up till the end of the 14th.
Wow. So what time was that?
I think it was like 11:30 or something like that. And, of course, I'm looking at my watch thinking my alarm goes off at about 20 after 4. I'm thinking, yeah. I got an early start. But, you know, knowing that it ended up going 18 innings, two ball games, basically.
Yeah,
last night.
And how painful is that? A Canadian, Freddie Freeman, ends it.
I know.
For us, as
but
well,
Freddie
too.
Freeman, don't forget, he was the MVP of the World Series last year. I mean, the guy's a good ball player, but yeah, was it little? It was little pitching.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. Yeah, yeah.
Gosh,
hey,
that guy's not gonna. We aren't gonna want to see him back out again.
Shohei Ohtani, 4-for-4 with 2 doubles, 2 home runs. Including that game tying solo shot in the 7th there. Do you not think he's a good-looking guy? The more I watch that guy take the mound, I am struck by his hair. It just looks, he's got hair I would die for. And he's a good-looking bugger, no doubt about it.
Jody loves him. Last night, Jody was watching the game with me, and she's like, you know, he just looks so nice.
He does. He stands there, and he looks happy.
He's always smiling at the opposition.
He's not spitting nastily like many of them do.
But
he's
can't deny what a good player. Like, those home runs, like, that guy is a good ball player. And you basically heard from manager John Schneider, Jay's manager, last night after the game, they're just going to walk him.
Well, like, you have to.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's too big of a threat when he's up to the plate.
And thanks for that tip, finally. You know, like, during the game, Buck and all the commentators are saying, you might want to walk him here.
Is that your Buck impression?
You do a good Buck.
People are doing, I'm on him with a fifth now. People are doing them online. It's going viral. It's quite funny, actually.
All right, so little Jay's conversation and being sleepy. What else coming up on the show today?
Well, we're going to talk federal politics, of course. Mark Carney and Donald Trump not talking while they're over in Asia right now for meetings. Mark Carney is meeting with the China president. Will that yield results for canola tariffs? I guess yet to be determined. You know, the question that I'm going to ask listeners this morning is, who do you blame for the fact that we don't have a trade agreement?
Yeah.
And because I'm starting to think I'm blaming Mark Carney. I was a guy off the start that wanted to give this guy the benefit of the doubt. You know, you hear all these great things. He's a business person. He's a banker. I don't know, Greg. Okay. I don't know if this is the guy that's going to be able to get it done.
All right. I blame J.P. Sachs, the guy who sang O Canada last night.
Okay, I'll blame him too, actually.
Evan, we're out of time. See you back here at 8:30.